It seems like we've heard this sermon and story already. We've heard this account, haven't we? Didn't Abraham already get confronted about this? Didn't he already tell the king of Egypt that Sarah was his sister? And so this has led many to think that this is just a retelling, a reframing of what has already happened in the past. Yet the particulars remind us that this is something entirely different. That this is yet again a time in which Sarah was taken away from Abraham because he was not willing to claim her as his own, because he feared man. One of the commentators on this passage illustrated this passage much like a horse that's in training to jump over a fence. Apparently, I don't know if many of you have ever trained horses or seen horses being trained, but in order to get a horse to jump over a fence, you run toward it, and if it stops, then you get off the horse, you walk it around the fence a couple times, and then you try again. And you keep doing this until the horse jumps over the fence. And so here we have God taking Abraham around the fence, bringing him here yet again to cause him to jump in faith, to trust God that he would be his protection, his help, his shield. And so as we look at this passage, we want to see how God is showing Abraham how he is faithful to his bride and to his promise. That he will preserve his bride and his promise. And so first of all, we look at Abraham's besetting sin yet again. But as we have been given more information, we can expand upon what that sin was. Second of all, we will see God's intervention as he intervenes and shows himself to be one who will preserve his people. And finally, we see how the promise is proven. And so as we look at Abraham's besetting sin, we see that following that destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham now moves southward. He again travels on as one of those who is a pilgrim in this world. It probably wasn't easy waking up each morning to the smell of brimstone and fire. Even if that wasn't the case, he would have been reminded day after day that that city was a wicked city. A city that did not even have 10 righteous people in it. And you could understand how Abraham would begin to despair that he is living in a country and in a society that is so destructive and fallen that now God has even brought this horrible destruction upon the city. And you can hear those words of despair in his voice as he says, when Abimelech confronts him, he says, "Because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife." He begins to look around at every city, despairing that there is no place where he can go, where he can find protection with those who love the Lord like he does. Yet Abraham is being brought around to that same hurdle. Because as he moves to the south, he again says to this king that she is my sister. And as we think about this more carefully, as we look at this, we can see in verse 13 that this actually is something that's been going on since chapter 12. It is not something that has changed, but it has been, as you might say, the modus operandi, the way that they have been working in this land. He says in verse 13, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, it was from that day that I said to her, this is the kindness which you show me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. He says, this is the way I want you to work. Even worse than that. He's even doing it in a very manipulative way. Listen to him. This is the kindness you show me. Or you might even say, well, if you really love me, this is how you're going to act. This is what you're going to do for me. If you want to show me your love, I want you to say, he is my brother, so that I don't die. This is what Abraham has been doing since he left the land of his father. He has not been trusting God to protect his life. This is an area in which Abraham is not showing faith in God. Something that he has reserved for himself. Something that he says, well, this is one place where I will have Sarah be my protection. I don't think God will be able to preserve my life. And especially since I have no child, there will be no questions about this. And it's a half-truth. No big deal, right? Yet, again, this half-truth endangers the promised child. It endangers Sarah's purity, all for his personal protection and all for his personal safety. That he's willing to endanger the promise for personal security. He's willing to exchange this. And people of God, this isn't merely an Abraham problem. Isaac falls into this thing as well. And it seems to be a generational thing to the point that you and I can struggle with the very same things in our sinful nature. That we end up fearing God, or fearing man more than God. And so Jesus even warns his disciples in saying, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you, whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you that everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Is our faith strong enough not to endanger the promises of salvation given to us, and hold on to claiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? That we will not exchange our confession of Jesus Christ as our Savior because we fear man. Whether it be the mockery, just simply mockery. How easy is it to deny what we believe because, well, yeah, be forgiven? Or, why not hold up my reputation? Brothers and sisters, I do not think we are entering an age far worse than any other generation before us. But it is clear that we are living in an age where the world is getting more and more hostile to the faith. We can feel that we are aliens and pilgrims in this land. Will you fear God more than man? Will you claim the child of promise? Or will you prefer personal safety and protection and comfort of this world? See, by not claiming Sarah as his own, Abraham puts into peril the promises of God. He risks that promised child who was to come through him and Sarah. But as we look at this second point, we see that God is zealous for his own. God is zealous to keep his promise, and he is sovereign. And he will not let Abraham and Sarah and their sin prevent these promises from coming true. So let's look at how God intervenes. In verse 3, God comes to Abimelech in a dream and tells him that he's a dead man. He shows this king that he's going to die if he doesn't return that husband to, or Sarah to her husband. And notice how Abimelech appeals again to God as a God of justice, connecting us with that previous chapter, where it says, you know, are you going to sweep away this nation even? Which already intimates that they're suffering from some sort of plague, some sort of suffering. Are you going to wipe out an entire nation because of something I have done in the integrity of my heart, in the wholeness of my heart? He hasn't hidden something away. There's no sort of hidden agenda in taking away Sarah from Abraham. He's innocent. He's done no wrong in that sense. But God shows that even if he has done this thing innocently because he didn't know, the ignorance of that sin does not stop it from being a sin. And so God doesn't allow her to remain with him. He warns this king, speaks to him in a dream, and protects Sarah's purity. He protects that promised line, even to the point of not allowing her to be touched by this king. See, God is zealous to protect the purity of his people. He uses his great might and power to preserve for himself a bride without any spot or blemish. He protects and keeps her at all costs, even to the point of laying down his very own life for his bride. He will not let sin or the world or his enemies defile them. Even our own flesh cannot prevent us from being cleansed by him. And so God is zealous for his people. He protects Sarah. But also see how he is bringing Abraham about to trust him more. He's not willing to allow that part of Abraham's life go. But he wants to have him submit that to himself as well. He wants to show him that he must trust him in these things. That he must trust him for his very life, for he is the one who has the promise. And so he doesn't let this besetting sin, you might call it, keep him away from him, or have this certain area of his life away from God and walking by faith. And so God confronts him, sanctifies him, washes him in the water of the Word, calling him to account, even through this sinful and pagan king. But thirdly, as we look at this final point, we see that God's faithfulness is proven. Because one of the things that God says to this king of Gerar, he says that even though you may be the more upstanding of gentlemen in this case, he is the prophet. He is the one in whom you need to go to and ask that he would pray on your behalf. I have noted in the past that it seems like when Abraham falls or stumbles in his faith, he keeps being called to call upon the Lord in prayer. Remember how they tried to solve the promised child with Hagar, and how Hagar is told to name that child Ishmael. God hears. In other words, Abraham, pray. I'm listening. Call upon me. And here too, he sends Abimelech to Abraham and he says, pray for him. Pray for this king. Pray for his life. Pray that he and his nation would have life yet again. Because this man is a dead man. And yet, when Abraham prays, he heals Abimelech. God heals Abimelech, his wife, and his maids, so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Again, who else needed to be confronted in their faith? In chapter 18, we had God come to Abraham and Sarah and promise that child. And what did Sarah do? Yeah, right. Really? Me? At my age? Okay. If you say so. Yet here, Abraham prays, and God opens wombs. And then, in chapter 21, Isaac, that promised child. What is he telling Abraham and Sarah? I am the God of life. I can open up wombs. You think that this old womb that you have is unable to bear a child? I promised it to you. I am God Almighty. I am that great God. And so even at Abraham's prayer, at his asking, God opens the wombs. God heals Abimelech. Think about how encouraging this must have been for Abraham's faith. I just need to ask. God's promised it. Let me ask. Let me pray for it. And so it becomes even the occasion for opening Sarah's womb. Here, when God confronts head on that deception of Abraham and Sarah, and he says, you will no longer be able to use this. You will no longer be able to use this as your shield. I am your help and I am your shield. I will protect you. And you will belong wholeheartedly to me. You must believe in me for all things. And so, beloved people of God, that promised child, Jesus Christ, came and shows himself to be king over all. He is the true and complete promised child who brings salvation, who sanctifies and washes us, who is zealous for His people. And so turn to Him. Trust in Him. Do not let any area of your life be reserved, but may He be your help and your shield. For He loves you and has shown it by being zealous for His very own bride, the church. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in this difficult world, a world in which can often bring about despair because it can sometimes seem like there is no fear of God in this place, would you preserve, protect, and cleanse us, your church, your bride, that we may grow in our faith and love with you. May you continue to even grow our church, that more and more would come to believe in you as their Lord and Savior, as their help and their shield, as you are our refuge and strength, and an ever-present help in a time of need. Thank you, Lord, for these encouraging words from your gospel word. From beginning to end, you have shown yourself to be faithful. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us now respond by singing number 438. Number 438.